Hello and welcome to the Monday, July 2nd, 2012 edition of the Sands and its Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I am today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. Let's start with diaries. If you are using Splunk, we do have a new tool for you. Boyan wrote an app for Splunk that will download our DShield data. Once a day, we do publish a list of all source IP addresses that we saw in firewall logs being submitted to DShield. This Splunk app will load this list, and then you can do couple of analytics queries on it. One of the more important one of these queries is probably that you can check if any of your source of your IP addresses show up as a source IP. Now this may just be a false positive, and then it's not too much to worry about. We do have false positive in our data, of course, but if some of your hosts are, for example, infected or such, they may also show up as a source of packets in the DShield database, so you can then run accordingly queries to figure out what's going on with these hosts. And just for the false positive issue, I do highly recommend that you do not use this list unfiltered as a block list. Then we got the diary from Joel. He's pointing to a blog post about how to keep your site up if you're using Amazon's cloud or Amazon Web Services. Now, Amazon offers a number of sort of geographic load balancing and load balancing across different availability zones, but that really only takes sort of some of the low-level mechanics away from you. You still have to make sure that all the data, for example, is available that your website needs. So, for example, database replication, such has to be in order. And that blog post really does a pretty good job in sort of outlining some of the issues that you run into in keeping a website up and running with Amazon Web Services, even if part of Amazon Web Services is not available, which of course has happened recently. Amazon's outages over this weekend were due to electrical storms. However, there was another issue that caused some large internet properties to go offline, and that's a leap second. Now, these leap seconds are added occasionally to keep the Universal Coordinated Time, or UCT, in sync with the actual rotation of the Earth, which, of course, is not as uniform as people would think. Now, we already have things like leap years, for example, but once in a while, there's an extra second that needs to be added, and this second that was added this weekend apparently caused quite a bit of problems with Java-based applications. Things like, for example, Hadoop and Tomcat had problems adjusting to the leap seconds, and this usually resulted in the processes just hanging and requiring a restart. And Kaspersky is reporting that it spotted some new malware targeting members of the Uyghur minority in China. This is a Muslim minority that has been the target of some of the APT-style attacks in the past. This particular new attack is targeting Mac users as well as Windows users. For the Mac, it will install the MA control backdoor. Doesn't appear to use an actual exploit for this. It does arrive as a zip file attachment, and if the user launches the malware, then it will start up the remote command and control channel. And I reported last week about KeePass, the free password safe that's available for the Mac and other operating systems. Well, the bug that I reported about has now been fixed, so please update your version of KeePass if you're using it, and protect yourself from this vulnerability. And that's it for today, so thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.